This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com. This morning is in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. We will be reading verses 44 through 53. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send this promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
I was reading an account of a couple by the name of John and Hannah Hunt in the early 1800s. John Hunt would read as a boy the stories of his father in the military, and he had such a spirit of adventure. Well, God got a hold of him in his early years, and he became a Christian and wanted to give his life to sending the light as a missionary. And he met his wife, Hannah. They were married. And soon, John and Hannah Hunt were on Fiji Island as ministers of the Lord. And they arrived. And when they arrived on the mountain, they were immediately confronted with severe heathen behavior. The people on the island were cannibals. Up to 2/3 of the children that were born to the tribal people were boiled and eaten among the natives. It would be common for the elderly parents of their children they would be roasted and eaten by the children. I suppose that was their way of not having to take the responsibility that children should have for taking care of their parents. There was this one instance in which a tribal leader lost his son at sea, and it was a tragedy. And so his response was to cook up 17 women and eat them. And that was the response to this great tragedy. And this couple were sent to bring the gospel to these people. Now, if you arrived on an island like that, I don't know about you, but I would be tempted to hightail it as fast as I could. And in fact, the native people urged the couple to leave, but they decided to stay, and they decided to sacrifice their own skin, literally, so that they could bring the gospel to these people. And over time, God blessed their work, and there were conversions, and there was a great ingathering of people to the kingdom of God. And it got to the point where, as John came down with an illness and he was reaching the point of his death, that the converted island people got together and they started praying, and they said to God, God, don't take this man away. Take us instead. Take 10 of us in place of him.
You know, you can see where the culture background is still kind of working in their thinking, but they wanted to give up their lives so that this man could be spared. And as this man, John, was dying, he called out and he said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "Hallelujah," as he passed away. Just the Lord's joy in his heart crossing the threshold into eternity. And as a result of his death, that the king of the people, who was a wicked king, was so moved and so impacted by this man who entered into eternity with such a spirit that he himself became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we hear a story like that, and doesn't it just inspire you? Doesn't it just motivate you? Doesn't it just fill you with wonder and get you excited? It does to me. And did you know that of all the missionary stories that you could come across, the greatest ever missionary story that you will ever read is found in the Bible? Because what Luke wants us to know, I believe, as you look at what Luke is presenting, is that Jesus is the missionary. He is the missionary. What does it mean to be a missionary? Well, our modern dictionary would say this: a person undertaking a mission, and especially a religious mission. And I think that's safe to say. Jesus, if he is a missionary, was given a mission. He was given a mission. And all four gospel writers do highlight various aspects of this mission. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's what God wanted us to know about Jesus' mission in Matthew. God wants us to know about Jesus' mission in Mark when Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." His mission was to come and to give his life on the cross, to die for our sins so that we could have everlasting life. Hallelujah. In the book of John, we also have a description of the mission of Jesus. At the very end, when John, under inspiration of God, is writing, he says this in John 20, verse 30 to 31. "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." That is his mission. And Luke provides for us a description of the mission of Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 4, if you will. If you turn to Luke chapter 4, we have Jesus who goes to his hometown of Nazareth. And he's in the synagogue worshiping with the people. And he is given the text to read. And in verse 16 we read, "He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Luke gives us the mission
of Jesus.
Luke was a companion of Paul. He followed Paul around. And he investigated it, the claims of Christianity himself, for he had been transformed by Christ, and he went back and investigated it. When you read the introduction, Luke says, "Inasmuch as many has taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So he is moved by God to investigate what is already known about the claims of Jesus. And God uses him to share with us the mission of Jesus. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is a missionary and how, as a result, we should continue the mission. Amen. The first thing we see of Luke presenting Jesus as a missionary is that he is, Luke shows us, that Jesus is a compassionate missionary. Jesus is a compassionate missionary. Open up to Luke chapter 5, turn there. And we have this one account of many where Jesus on his mission shows compassion. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27, "After these things, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi." This is another name for Matthew, the gospel writer. "Sitting at the tax office, and Jesus said to him, 'Follow me.' So Matthew left all, Levi left all, rose up and followed Jesus. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Because I just wanted a buddy to hang out with.'" That's not what he said. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous. I have come to call sinners to repentance.'" You see, he looked upon those who were outwardly steeped in sin, and there in his heart was compassion for them. Because he saw sickness and he was a doctor. And he wanted to reach them to find healing. Jesus was a compassionate missionary. And he had compassion for those who were not well. He had contempt for those who thought they were well, but really weren't. Look, if you will, back in verse 12, Luke 5, verse 12. "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him." Now, mind you, with leprosy, this contagious disease, you would not dare approach a leper. You would not dare even think to touch a leper. And Jesus comes and he sets his hand on that man who is with this disease. And he said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy left him. You see, leprosy is a symbol of sin. And sin has overtaken the sinner. And Jesus looks to that person and puts his hand on them and he says, "I am willing to heal you." He has great compassion. He cared about those who were suffering. He knows that they deserve sin, but God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Compassion. Warren Wiersbe says this about compassion. "Compassion has been defined as your pain in my heart." What pain our Lord must have felt as he ministered from place to place. Jesus
helped them because compassion does not measure, it ministers.
Think of what the compassion, think of the level of compassion that the Lord had on you. When you and I are steeped in sin, when we were born and we rebelled and we chose not to follow God, but to rebel against Him, when we were engaging in sin and our whole mindset was corrupted and we were enemies of God, and God in His heaven could have looked and said, this world needs to be judged. But God in His compassion said, there is a way for forgiveness. And He sent Jesus. Jesus crossed not the Atlantic to be a missionary to show compassion to you. Jesus crossed not the Pacific to show compassion to you. Jesus crossed the galactic, whatever you want to call it, between heaven and earth, to come here and to rescue you from your sin. What compassion He showed on you. What compassion He showed on you. And how dare we not have the same compassion for others who are lost. Amen. He went into a culture. He went into a area that was His enemy. It says that Jesus looked in the multitudes, and it says that He looked at them and He was filled with compassion, for they looked like sheep without a shepherd. How do we view the lost when we see them? What is the first reaction we see when we think of somebody who is steeped in sin? Now, I do think there is a healthy, righteous sense of the justice of God. When evil is spreading, you see that and you feel like, God, show justice. God, come and intervene. Let's fight against this evil as best as we can. But with the same justice that God sees on the sin of the earth, so the same compassion should be shown to the sinner who will die and go to hell. And that compassion motivates us.
Compassion does not excuse sin. Compassion offers a solution to sin. Amen? Do you have compassion for the lost? Do you have compassion for the hurting? God's compassion has to come inside of us and grip us. Otherwise, we won't be motivated to share the gospel. Jesus is a compassionate missionary. Secondly, Luke shows us not only that Jesus is a compassionate missionary, Jesus is also a courageous missionary. Not only is He compassionate, He is courageous. Let's look back to that account that we read of Jesus giving us His mission in Luke chapter 4. In verse 20, He closed the book and He said that this scripture was fulfilled. But look, if you continue in verse 22, all bore witness to Him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then He said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you, truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow, a Gentile. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. Well, the people did not like to hear that, because what happened in verse 28? So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they may throw him down over the cliff. But Jesus passed through them in the midst of them and went His own way. You see, He showed compassion to those that
the people around him did not want to show compassion to. And he was willing to speak the truth, and he was willing to stand up and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles, and the people did not like that. I think of the courageous nature of Jesus, that despite somebody being frustrated with his mission, he will complete it nonetheless because God has sent him. Jesus went outside the culture's comfort zone. Israel was fine with the Messiah for Israel. And this is what Luke, the highlight of what Luke is showing, is that the salvation brought to Israel, highlighted in Matthew, is not just for Israel, but breaks down the barriers of nations and carries on outside to the whole world. And Jesus was courageous to bring that truth. We need courage to go against the status quo, to go against the political correct boundaries that are around us, and to bring this gospel we hold near and dear to those who need it, irrespective, irregardless of their culture. We need to be willing to cross the boundaries of cultures, even if it means the boundary of our property line, to bring the gospel to those who are lost. I remember the story of hearing of Billy Graham when he would have his crusades, and people would gather at the crusades in the day, and in certain states they had, you know, the segregation. They had the blacks on one side, they had the whites on the other, and there was a line down the middle to separate them. And Billy Graham, so moved with the compassion, filled with the courage of Jesus, he went down there and he removed that boundary line. And he said that the gospel is for all. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter what you look like. The gospel is for you. All are sinners and have fallen under the wrath of God. All need salvation. Christianity is the most anti-racist worldview that we can hold to. I know in the past there have been unfortunate ties with Christianity, but that was anti-biblical. Because you know why? We read and we sing, in Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide world. Join hand then, brothers of the faith, whate'er your race may be, who serves my Father as a son is surely kin to me. It takes courage, and not just race, not just outward appearance, but whether rich or poor, high in the social status, low in the social status, whatever difference may be between you and your neighbor, God has sent you as a missionary to cross that line and say, you know what, our culture may be different, our upbringing may be different, our bank accounts may be different, our houses may look different, our interests may look different, our skin may look different, whatever. You need Jesus. Jesus transformed me. God, give me the courage. And you want to know something? Sometimes when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you get this sense of fear. I know there have been times when I approach a conversation with somebody, when I know God is giving me this opportunity and he's leading me. You get the prompting, you know you must obey, you approach that person, or you're just talking and something gets brought up and you get that from the Lord. You get that sense that God wants you to speak. Immediately with that comes a sense of fear. You ever felt it? It's a fear and it's gripping and it holds your tongue. And in that moment, I guarantee, because it's happened to me time and time again, if I see the person as God sees them and think of the eternal perspective behind the conversation, that tongue is loosed. The words come freely. And I guarantee this, it happens time and time again. If you share Jesus, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just enough to give interest, if you share that truth, you will walk away from that conversation filled with a wonder and a joy that you cannot explain. It happens time and time again. And that joy and that wonder that you are filled with is 1,000 times greater than the gripping fear you had 5 minutes ago. And you do not obey based on feeling, but I tell you what, the feeling is there. Because you get to share what you hold near and dear with somebody who needs it. My brothers, take courage. Jesus is a courageous missionary. Jesus is a compassionate missionary. Finally, brothers and sisters, look at this here. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 24. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is on a mission. Luke wants us to know that Jesus has a message to bring. He's shown compassion. He has had courage. In Luke chapter 24, picking up in verse 44, which was read earlier, then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached," here it is, "in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." You see, you read the Gospel of Luke, and you read of Jesus on a mission. He came to proclaim the gospel. And he came and he lived and he came and he died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again from the dead. But the story did not end there. For Luke shows us that Jesus is a continual missionary. A continual missionary. You see, the Lord inspired Luke to write this gospel, but he also wrote another book. You know what it is? What is it? The book of Acts. Open up, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. Luke, under inspiration, says that Jesus, until the day in which he was taken up, in verse 2, that he, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But," here it is, "you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world." Brothers and sisters, the mission is continuing. It's continuing. Jesus came with a mission, and he died, and he ascended to the Father, and he commissioned the apostles with the mission. And he said, "Start it here in Jerusalem where you are, and let it spread like a drop in the ocean as a ripple effect grows, and it goes outside Jerusalem, outside Judea, outside Samaria, into Dodgeville." Praise the Lord. And so now you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are part of the mission. The missionary movement of Jesus is continuing to this day, all over the world, and we're a part of it. Have you ever read a book series where it wasn't completed. It was a series of books, and the author was continuing to write them. When I was a kid, there was this book series I read, and it was being written. I remember at the time just being so absorbed with this book that I read the first time it came out, I'd get the book and I'd read it, and I couldn't wait for the next book to come out. And then the next book would be published, and you'd purchase it, and you got it, and you're reading it, and you can't wait for the next book to come out. Have you ever had a book like that? A series like that? We are living the written series of God, Jesus to the world. And you've got your own chapter. This church has its own chapter. And the Holy Spirit is inside of you, moving to bring this gospel to those around you. How are you continuing the mission? You see, we support missions. I think it's great. It should be done. But the categorization of missions sometimes can be misleading. Like, we think the mission to bring Jesus to those who don't know Him is for them, the missionaries. And I think we have to be careful, because that mindset can be misleading. That's their responsibility. That's their mission. The qualification in Acts chapter 1 for being a missionary is having the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus today, you have the Holy Spirit, you are a missionary. For God sent the Spirit to fulfill His mission in you. And as missionaries, we have our gathering where we worship God and are strengthened and are equipped in our mission. I mean, think to yourself, if you had that mindset of being sent like John Hunt did to Fiji, your whole mindset is thinking, I am here in this area to bring Jesus to those around me. And so the decisions you make throughout your week, the places you go, is in the mindset of, I am a missionary here to bring Jesus. That is our calling, to have that very mindset. But it takes courage, and it takes compassion. And I think we as a church in the West, because we separate the missionaries and the evangelists over here, and we have us, the church, over here, we tend to fall into this almost a spectator mindset. I come to church to receive the good time of being with God's people and praising Him, and I'm so glad for the preaching and the singing. It really gets me going. And I'm just so thankful for it. And now I leave church and I go back to my life and I can't wait to come back. And we have this spectator mindset. But if you're in this room today, God has a mission for you as a part of the body of Christ. And you may not be a part of this church. God has a mission for you where you worship Him. If you are a part of this church, come here regularly. God has a mission for you here. And God wants you to move from spectator to participant, bringing that mission. You say, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He will show you. I need help. There's opportunity. But God wants you at work as a missionary to this area, as we join together to bring the gospel, fulfilling the mission we've been given. Luke tells us that Jesus is the missionary of the ages. A compassionate missionary. Have you compassion for those who are lost? Have I compassion for those I see when I go to the store, for those when I'm going about my day? Because only compassion will motivate you to share. And love, and the fear of the Lord. Jesus was a courageous missionary. Do you have the courage by God to overstep that boundary of awkward fear, to deliver the message God wants you to deliver? He will give you that courage, and I guarantee at the end of it, you will be blessed. And finally, are you seeing yourself as a chapter written in the book of how God redeemed a people for Himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation? That is our mission. He is our missionary. May we follow Him. Amen.
Heavenly Father, please equip us and inspire us and convict us and move us, Lord. Help us to not get wrapped up in things that we ought not to be distracted by. We have our lives, we have our decisions, but we also have our mission. May we not put that on the lower end of the priorities. Oh God, please help us to prioritize your mission. Help us to be free in the gospel. Help us to be used by you to bring the glory of God to the whole world. As your word says, the knowledge of the Lord will be over the whole earth. We thank you, we praise you for using us. In Jesus' name, we go now as your people. We all say together, Amen.